If we could turn in the Word of God to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. When I was praying this morning, the Lord kind of laid this on my heart, maybe just to exhort about. But He knew what was going to happen anyway, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 17 through 23. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Is anybody joyful in the Lord here tonight? Amen. My heart's passion is to see the church that was birthed at Pentecost, to see today's church turn back into that church, Pastor. And I believe that Christ is coming back for that church. And in order for that, for Christ to come back for that church, there's got to be a lot of things to change in today's society and in today's world. And I want to preach for a few moments on the kingdom of God, on the kingdom of God. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. And starting with verse 17, the Word of God reads, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." In verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Let us pray here tonight. Father, I thank You for another opportunity to be in Your house, God. Lord, this may be my first time in this house, God, but I feel Your presence. I feel Your anointing, God. God, I know You're here. God, I know You're with me because I felt You this morning in prayer. God, I felt You this morning in morning service, and I feel You here tonight. Lord, I pray somebody, God, I pray this church would be refreshed and renewed and strengthened here tonight. God, usher forth a word that would challenge. God, that would challenge to the point, God, that You bring revival, that Your Spirit would move in such a mighty way. Lord, use my mouth as a mouthpiece for Your glory to flow through. Holy Spirit, we've got to have You. Lord, I can't preach on my own, Lord, nor do I choose to preach on my own, God. But under Your Spirit's the only way that I can to preach the great call that's on my life, Lord. Lord, I thank You for this church once again. I thank You for this pastor and for each and every man, woman, and boy and girl in this house. God, help us today and move by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Where the kingdom of God is established, heaven always comes down. And I believe that you know that here tonight. In 1861, it was one of the bloodiest times in American history. That was the first year of the American Civil War. From 1861, I believe, to 1864, 65 is when the American Civil War happened. And we see a nation divided. We see a nation fighting against itself. The Union and the Confederacy. The North and the South was warring whether the slaves would continue to be or whether they would be no more. And we see that this was one of the bloodiest times in American history when the country was divided. I was researching this and I remember from high school, I'm 20 years old, and from a history class, I remember that they said around 500,000 Americans lost their lives during this time, during these 4 years of the American Civil War. What an astounding number. Not not a people from another nation, but this is our nation's history. We see a very gruesome time. But when the smoke cleared and the North had won the war and the South was defeated, we see a nation that came back together. But we can learn a very valuable lesson from the American Civil War. We learn that a nation could not stand divided. We learn that two separate kingdoms, two separate people could not coexist in one land. Can I tell you here tonight that there's two kingdoms fighting in the spiritual realm? There's the kingdom of heaven fighting for this service here tonight. And there's the kingdom of hell. The kingdom of hell, I believe, is kind of watered down in today's society. We believe in a non-effective devil, in a devil that doesn't have much power, which he doesn't, because we all know that Christ won the victory on Calvary. But he's a very real devil. There's very real spirits. There's very real demons. And that kingdom of hell is fighting against the kingdom of heaven. When this church was established, I believe, Robert told me over 100 years ago this church has been here. When this church was established, you invaded the kingdom of hell. Hell had its sights on London, Kentucky. Hell had its sights on this community. Even today, when those doors were open here this morning, when those doors were open here tonight, the kingdom of hell desires to take this service down. The kingdom of hell desires that the kingdom of God would not come forth. It desires to destroy your soul. It desires to destroy your ministry. It desires to destroy each and every one of you here tonight. There's a war going on, and only one kingdom will win. But I believe with everything that is within me that we can stand together, united as people under the name of Jesus Christ, under the blood which Christ wrought on Calvary, and say that the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. I believe with everything that's within me that the kingdom of hell will not prevail against this service here tonight, but that the kingdom of God will be established right here in a greater way than it's ever been. Amen. I want to talk to you about this kingdom of God here tonight. When the day of Pentecost came, the kingdom of God was established. Without Pentecost, the true kingdom of God would have never been established. Let me tell you this, folks. We live in a day and age where Pentecost is looked down upon. We live in a day and age where anybody can speak in tongues. You don't have to live a righteous and holy life. We live in a day and age when people think that Pentecost was something for the apostles back in the book of Acts. But can I tell you, the true church must have Pentecost revive again. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, I believe, is a necessity for every born again believer. It's the only thing that's going to keep us in these last days. It's the only thing that's going to keep you from falling into the wiles and the temptation of the enemy. Amen. Does anybody still believe in Pentecost? Does anybody still believe that there's a latter-day move of God that's coming to this nation? Without Pentecost, the true kingdom of God would have never been established. Me and my brother Chucky are from Somerset, Kentucky, just about 30 minutes down the road. And the Pentecostal church is looked down upon in our city. There's a lot of Baptist churches, which I don't have anything against the Baptist church, but I do have some things against what they believe. If they don't believe in Pentecost, I have a problem with that. But in our city, it's looked down upon as something radical, as something non-existent, as something crazy to even think about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. But I firmly believe that at the age of 16, when God saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, that He gave us, He gave my brother Chucky an Acts chapter 2 experience with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I truly believe here tonight that somebody, if you get hungry enough, if you get passionate enough, enough. If you want it with everything in your spirit, then you can get filled tonight. Is this all right here tonight? Is this all right preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Where Pentecost is, the kingdom of God is. And the kingdom of God was established when Pentecost came, and revival came when Pentecost came. And the only way that revival is going to come forth again in these last days is when the baptism of the Holy Ghost is renewed and preached again and taught again, and people begin to see the true power of God. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." And Luke chapter 17 verse 20 and 21 we read, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Something happened on the day of Pentecost. The kingdom of God was not established when Christ was on this earth. But Christ said, when I go away and send my spirit, then I'll birth Pentecost out of you. Amen. This is where the kingdom of God was birthed out of, was when Pentecost came to those 120 in that upper room. That's when the true church was birthed. The only way that God is going to set up the kingdom that He desires is if we allow the Holy Ghost to fill our lives and church once again. We've got to bring Pentecost back. Pentecost has got to be in every service, in every prayer meeting, in every youth service. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Our church must once again be governed by the Spirit of God. If we want those sinners to see the true power of God, not to see us, not to see pastor, not to see the worship team, not to see any of us, but they've got to come in and see Christ in us. They must see this kingdom of God birthed out of the inside of us. Amen. That's the only way it's going to happen, church. What made the church in Acts chapter 2 so effective was that they realized what was inside of them and let it out. We do society, we do this world, we do this city an injustice when we keep it on the inside of us. The first century church finished out what God put inside of them. The people no longer saw men and women who were afraid, but they saw the very image of Christ coming out of them. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost is not just a talk in tongues. The Holy Spirit isn't just a chill bump. It's not just a shout. It's not just a run. It's not just a dance. And it's not just a twirl. But you can tell somebody that's been with God that the Holy Ghost has filled, because everything that they do and everything that they say, their smile, their look, is the look of Jesus Christ. And if we want to tell them the truth of this gospel, if we want our lives to be a living representation to this community, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We must speak in other tongues. For the kingdom of God to be established in this house tonight, Pentecost must come in this service. Amen. What happened that day? Hallelujah. I feel the Lord here tonight. What happened that day was heaven came down and gave the church a taste of what was to come. The word of God is forever established in heaven, but we get a taste every time the Spirit of God moves. Do you know that? We get a taste of what heaven will be like. That makes me happy, because I know I struggle. I know as a young man that I struggle with a lot of things, but I know once I get into a place of prayer that the Spirit of God, that God has something to say through me, then I experience what heaven might be like. Amen. You see, I was not raised in a standard of a holy, righteous life. I was not raised up that way to have not only an inward, but an outward standard. But I believe with everything within me, I've been to a lot of different churches. I've been to a lot of different people. But the kingdom of God is never established in a church more that the inward infilling of the Holy Ghost is preached. But the outward is preached also. Because once this Holy Ghost gets on the inside of you, yes, the inward will change. But there'll be something that says on the inside of you, God, whatever I gotta do to please you. God, whatever I gotta do to make you happy. God, whatever I gotta do to come into a greater relationship, a greater intimacy. That's why God wants somebody to realize here tonight. This thing isn't just about coming to church Sundays and Wednesdays. But this thing's about an everyday walk, an everyday relationship with Him. Young people, old people, there's no greater time than to spend your time in the presence of God, than exhausting yourself, saying, God, whatever I gotta do. As a young boy, I realized in my life, the more that I prayed, the more I fasted, the more time I spent with God, the more convictions I had, the more God could put His anointing on me, the more God broke the yokes off other people's chains through the anointing on my life is when we crave that relationship and intimacy with God. For the kingdom of God to be established, there must be a pursuit of relationship. There must be a pursuit of intimacy with God, and there must be a pursuit of Pentecost. Amen. If we want this community and families to be saved, we have to allow this kingdom to come forth out of us. If people walk in this house and experience heaven, they will never be the same. It is up to us to give what God put in us. When that happens, God will move. People will be saved, healed, and set free. Every time Pentecost comes in the Bible, every time that the Holy Ghost would fall on somebody, souls would be saved. There would be the baptism, speaking in tongues would occur, and heaven would always come down. But in this kingdom, we have to realize what position that we have. And this is where we get to our text today. We are at war with the enemy, as I believe we've confirmed, we've stated. There's a kingdom of God, there's a kingdom of heaven, and there's a kingdom of hell. The battle is to decide which kingdom will reign. When God's kingdom is being established, He invites the church to walk in heavenly places. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Somebody look to your neighbor and say, when He wrought in Christ. When He wrought in Christ and raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality. Somebody look to the person sitting next to you and say, far above principalities. Say it to them, declare it to them. Far above principality. Now say, far above power. Now say, far above might. Now say, far above dominion. And now say, far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet. Did you know that in war, your position is everything? It decides whether you win or lose. You can read about great historical battles all around the world, and almost every time, if the kingdom that was fighting on a higher elevation, on a higher plane, on a higher mountain, almost every single time that kingdom won, if their position was higher, if their position was greater, if their position was higher than that of the enemies. Because the reason being is from that high place, from that place above the enemy, they could see the enemy coming from miles and miles and miles away. Not only that, but their weapons, being at a higher elevation, could shoot down and shoot in a longer distance, being launched from a higher elevation. So if in a physical war, The strength of a kingdom lies in the position in which they are in. It's the same way in the spirit. And this is why in the book of Ephesians, God begins to tell the position of Christ. But not only of Christ, but of the church, amen. He not only says that Christ is far above every principality, far above every dominion, far above every power, far above every name that is named, far above everything, not in just this world, but in the world to come. But then in chapter 2, we get to a verse that says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. The victory to your battle, the victory to this church's battle, whatever this church is going through, whatever pastor is going through, whatever you're going through, church, the key to your battle is the revelation of your position in Christ. Amen. You must realize here this evening that you are not the scum of the earth, that you are not defeated, that you are not a low grasshopper, that you are not something of the earth, but that if you're born again, if you're baptized and clothed in the Holy Spirit, oh, I feel the Lord in this place. Some of you have been battling in your mind. Some of you have been battling in your spirit. Some of you have been battling in your flesh and think the devil has some of you tricked into believing that he actually has power over you. That you've come to a point in your walk in Christ that the sicknesses that you deal with are too bad for God to overcome. That those lost family members are too far gone to be won back to Christ. But I'm here to bring the revelation of the position that you have in Christ. If you can realize this here tonight, then no obstacle. The Bible says every name that is named. That blows my mind. I don't know about yours. But it lists dominion. It lists power. It lists principality. But it says every name that is named, because I believe that Paul didn't have enough time to write out all that Christ conquered over. Amen. Because there's a lot of diseases. There's a lot of sicknesses. There's a lot of principalities. There's a lot of demons. There's a lot of spirits. So Paul just said, every name that is named is what Christ rules over. And Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So I've come to declare to hell, I've come to put hell on notice here tonight and say that sickness can't stay in your body any longer. That your family must be saved, must be drawn by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. That your mind battles must be won in the name of Jesus. Somebody must get this revelation here tonight. We're fighting in a kingdom that cannot lose. If this kingdom of God is true, then we can stand up with boldness in our spirit and say Christ will win our battle. Amen. Amen. I was reading this morning in the School of Christ. I use it as a morning study kind of. And I'm currently reading on the church series. And Pastor B.H. said something that was so revealing to me. And he said the apostles never prayed for power in the book of Acts after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They never actually prayed for power because they had already been filled. The power rested on the inside of them. It was already living, burning on the inside of them. But what they prayed for was boldness. They prayed, God, give us boldness, because boldness is the key to unlocking the power on the inside of you. Because there's many times, church, that I feel uncomfortable witnessing. There's many times that I feel uncomfortable going up to somebody and say, hey, the Lord's told me this, and the Lord's told me that he's going to heal you, and to ask to pray for him, that takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? That takes a lot of it takes a lot of courage to go out to this community, to go out to this city and say Jesus is the only way. To say that there is an answer to your problem. To say that there is an answer. There is a solution. There is a remedy. Amen. It takes a lot of boldness to stand up against false doctrine, to stand up, especially in this day and age, to deceive people and tell them, hey, this is what you've been taught for years, but this is not right. It takes a lot of boldness. The power, church. I believe with everything in me that the power rests on the inside of you. But I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody in this house that's been afraid, that's asked God, hallelujah, for ministry, that's asked God, God, what do you want me to do? God, I love you. God, I believe your word. But God, I'm scared. God, I don't know if I can do it. God, I don't know if I can go out to the mission field, which is not just to other countries, but it's in our backyard, church. You're scared. You don't know. You don't know where the confidence is going to come from to stand up to your family, to stand up to your friends and say, hey, this is what I've experienced. This is what I've been through in my life. But God is here tonight to reinstill a holy boldness back into His church. Amen. He is here tonight to refresh with His presence. He is here tonight to find a people that say, God, I may be scared. God, I may be in an upper room. You got to realize what a state the disciples were in that upper room. Their leader, their mentor, for 3 years, they saw Him raise the dead. They saw Him open blind eyes. They saw Him send deliverance. They saw Him die on that cross. They were hanging on by a word. But how distraught they were, because they were tarrying in an upper room. They were in a place of desperation. They were in a place that if God didn't show up, that if God didn't intervene, that if God didn't come to the table and come forth across through His promises, I feel in my spirit here tonight, hallelujah, that this church has been promised some things. And I don't know what it is. This church has been here for 100 years, over 100 years. What a great testimony in itself. But there's been some stuff that's been prophesied, that's been promised to this pastor, to your life, to this ministry. And God wants you to know that He's a man of His word. God wants you to know that what's been prophesied over you, what's been promised to this church, has to come to pass. That you may be in a point of desperation here. You may be so dry. You may be so thirsty. You may be so shriveled up into nothing. You may not have experienced Pentecost or revival in many years, but God wants you to know that the kingdom of God is going to be established in a greater way than it ever has before. Oh, church, I feel it in my spirit for this church. Hold on to your holiness. Hold on to your standard. Hold on to your outreach. Hold on to your love. Because God wants to intervene like He's never intervened before. Oh, I feel that. Hallelujah, church. Somebody just raise their hands up to heaven and thank God. Thank God for every promise. Thank God for every time He's intervened. Thank God for this moment. God wants somebody to know that He's a man of His word. He's a just God, that He will not forsake His promises to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Does anybody feel the presence of God in this place tonight? Your position. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank You. I thank You, Lord. Let Your Word enter into our hearts tonight. God, let it pierce us, God. Let revival come. Let restoration come in this house tonight. Ephesians 2 and 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. If we are seated with Jesus, our job is to demonstrate and to perpetuate the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, The Word of God says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Where the kingdom of God is, and where His people are seated with Christ, life will always be there. I come from a broken home. I come from a divorced home. But not only do I come from a divorced home, but at the age of 5 years old, I had a speech impediment. I started preschool, and I started speech classes at the age of five. And from the age of five to 14 years old, I was shy. I was backwards. I had no confidence. I really had no joy. I went to church. I went through the motions. I wasn't saved at the time, but I struggled with my speech. There is no way right here. 9 years of my life, I struggled with stuttering. I struggled with speech problems. I went to speech class after speech class after speech class. But can I tell you, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when this kingdom was not just birthed in me, but birthed out of me, God healed my speech. God healed my tongue. And the very thing in which the enemy thought that he could kill me with and destroy my ministry with is the very thing that God uses to preach the gospel with. Now let me tell you, if it wasn't for the baptism, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I could not preach to you this gospel right now. I could not deliver and stand as a skin tent of God's glory to you and preach His word if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Some of you struggle. Some of you struggle with lack of confidence. I don't know why I'm coming back to this. With a lack of boldness. With a timid spirit. But I want to tell you from personal experience, from being the shy kid, from being the shy boy, for struggling 9 years of my life, God will use the things that He will make your weakness your strength. Yes, stuttering is a thorn in my flesh. And especially in the past few months, I've felt it rise back up in me. But through that thorn, through that struggle, you know, I have to pray. You may be able to minister without praying, without fasting, but it's a necessity. I cannot do this on my own. I cannot preach on my own. I cannot travel on my own. I cannot speak on my own. But it's brought me to a place where I realize I cannot do this without God. And God wants this church. He wants you to know that no, you cannot do it. No, you cannot see this city saved. No, you cannot see revival. But by His Spirit, not by might, not by power, but through the Spirit of God, God can revive a group of young people. God can revive a church. God can revive a church that'll stand up in these last days and fulfill the call of God that's on your life. But it's going to be by His Spirit. If the church is governed by anything but the Spirit of God, it will die. Amen. But the Spirit brings life, and I'm almost finished here. Life will always be where Christ is the center. This is what happened when the church was birthed. Life came in and started changing the people. I was in the nation of Guyana in South America. And my spirit was grieved because the church people there had got a hold of this Kearney's prosperity gospel that's all about me. That's all about getting. It's all about receiving. It's all about me, 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 me. It grieved my spirit to walk into a church and to hear these things. What these mega church preach, there's nothing wrong with a mega church. But what they preach is what I'm scared of. the deception of it. But God began to deal with me stronger than he ever had going through the school of Christ. I mean, you realize that Christ is the center. But in the current day church, we've put men at the forefront over Christ. We've put worship teams. We've put our music. We've put programs. We put all these things ahead of the Spirit and of Christ in our church. Church, I want to encourage you today. Keep Christ at the center. Keep Christ at the forefront. Because that is what will bring life. Amen. This is the reason there are so many dead religious churches today. It's because Christ is not at the center. There is no life. There may be a physical life. There may be the life of prosperity, the life of carnality, the life of cars, the life of money, the life of entertainment, but there is not the life of Christ in those churches. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, Lord help me, who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. Without life, the church is another insignificant man-made organization. Amen. What constitute God from moving in his vessel is if the divine purpose of God, the divine life of God, is flowing through that vessel. Whether it has had a good past or a great history, if it's lost its purpose, if it's lost its purpose, God will not move in it. Where purpose is not being fulfilled, life will not be there. I want to ask you, Pastor, God gave you vision for this church. I want to ask you, leaders, God put you here under this man of God's authority for a purpose. And I want to ask you here tonight, I'm not trying to come off harsh, and I'm sorry if I am. But I want to ask you, Pastor. I want to ask you, church leaders. I want to ask you, youth minister, children's church leader, Sunday school teacher. Is the purpose that God intended you to carry out being fulfilled in your life right now? Pastor, the vision, hallelujah, the vision that God birthed for this church to be a part of, the God-given purpose, is it being fulfilled today? When we open up these doors, when we open up this church building, when we enter into this sanctuary, what is God's purpose? What is the vision that he birthed in this man of God many years ago? If that purpose is not being fulfilled, if the God-given purpose is not being fulfilled to the fullest extent, then the life that could be here, the life that could be prospering in your life, is not where it's at. But I want to tell you, under the power and the authority of Christ, that the purpose, the call, the reason that this church is supposed to be here, the vision that is given Pastor Jarvis, must be carried out. It's not too late for it to be carried out to the fullest extent. But he needs a church body. He needs individuals. He needs young people. He needs saints of God to agree with him together under the power and the authority. Things may not be what they always were. But if God is birthing certain ministries in that man of God, there should be some people in the church that rise up and say, hey, I'll be a part of it. Hey, I'll be a part. Hey, I'll catch the vision. There should be men and women in this house, young people that say, Pastor, whatever you want, I know that God has placed me here under the power of God to see the vision of God fulfilled. That's the purpose of this body. That's the purpose of each man and woman here. Your purpose is not just to sit on a pew. Your purpose is not just to come Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. But God wants to do something great in First Pentecostal Church. God wants to birth the last day church right here. I believe it with everything in me that God wants to raise up men and women of God that go out and say, silver and gold I may not have, but such as I have, I give unto thee. A man and women, a pastor, a church that says, if you need to hear from God, you can come and I can tell you what thus saith the Lord. That's the heart of God. That's what we've got to reach from church. We've got to come. We've got to come to a place of prayer. Get so desperate for prayer. Get so hungry for prayer meeting and what God bursts in prayer. Then we can go out and change the life of this city and of this nation. Amen. Let us all stand here tonight. Life. Hallelujah. Lord, help me. Hallelujah, Spirit. Oh, God has a specific purpose for somebody here tonight. Somebody has struggled. There may have been division in your life. You may feel defeated. You may feel hurt. You may feel like you've gone too far. There may be people right here that says the best days of this church has gone and went, but I'm here to declare that God wants to use this church to flesh out the kingdom of God which He desires. He wants to bring Pentecost back in a way that He never has through this church. Life is the state or quality that distinguishes living beings or organisms from dead ones. It's the period between conception and death. God's sole purpose for me coming here tonight, I believe, is to speak life into your life, into this ministry. He wants you to think about why you're here. The purpose of why you are here. Is God's ultimate purpose being fulfilled? Is the life of God still flowing through these altars? Are sinners still coming in? Which I'm not saying they're not. But I'm saying God wants to do a work in a greater way than He ever has. Let us all bow our heads. Father, I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to be here tonight, to deliver this holy word. God, I come in humility. God, not to tear down the body of Christ, but to uplift the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that You would pierce our hearts today, pierce our spirits, pierce our minds, soften our hearts, bring conviction, and show us how to go to the next level. Show us how that last day move of God is going to come forth through these walls, through this church. God, we realize, God, You always have a vessel. You always will use a church to bring Your glory and spirit through. And I feel in my spirit so strong today that that's what You want to accomplish here. You want to establish Your kingdom. And I pray over each and every one that the enemy has fought, their minds that have been torn down, that says, God cannot move in my situation. That revival cannot come. God, I pray over them and rebuke the lies of the enemy. I rebuke division. I rebuke every spirit of hell, every principality. And I declare this sanctuary the kingdom of God. I declare this sanctuary a place of comfort and of peace, and where you can move by your spirit, God. And I pray deliverance over everyone. Oh, I feel like, church, with every head still bowed, that there's some people that need victory. That there's some people that need confidence. That need boldness. You've struggled with shyness. You've struggled with stepping out and helping in ministry. But God wants you to know that the revival, that the move of God you're looking for will not come unless somebody gets the holy boldness of God. I want to open up this altar here tonight, Pastor. And I want to invite everybody here, whether you be a sinner, whether you be a member of the church, you've heard the word of God. You've heard how God wants to bring revival. I've asked you the question, is purpose being fulfilled? Why are you here? Has Satan corrupted your mind and caused you to have a lack of confidence? But I want you to know that God's going to give the revelation to somebody in this altar here tonight that they are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I believe the revelation is going to come to you, church, in these altars tonight. That the kingdom of God, that Pentecost is going to come in a way it hasn't came in many years to this church. Come, church. Come right now. Just come right now. You can kneel down. You can stand in these altars. But let us have prayer meeting here tonight. I know I preached a little longer than normal, but I believe with everything in my heart that God wants to birth something in you today. Oh, pray, church. Pray for this community. Pray for your pastor. Travail for the lost souls. Travail for the deception of this community. Travail for God to bring revival. Oh, intercede for your lost families. Intercede for Pentecost. Intercede for a move of God.